1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 and 16. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the scripture verses here. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful and grateful for your wonderful blessings upon us. I pray, Lord, that right now we would give you all the place in our heart and our life, and we would turn that over to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Bible says here in verse number 14, but if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. And I want us to see here, just real quickly, as kind of like an introduction, that sanctification here, the verse previous to it and the verse after it, are kind of important. But first of all, sanctification itself is the setting apart of something for a specific task. It makes something holy of that which is common or ordinary. So for instance, the piano is set aside for church usage, you know, so we set the piano aside. The chairs are set aside, set apart for usage, so they're sanctified in that way. But more so, God sanctified us. Now, we're really sanctified in two different ways. One way, which we'll kind of see probably going through here, is that we're sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ because he died for us. So we're set apart. Sanctified, think about it this way, is holy. So we're holy. Okay, we're holy because God has determined by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are holy. So we're set aside for him. So wonderful meaning about that is that means that when you die in Christ, when you die in Christ, that you go to where he's at because he set you aside for his purpose. Okay, and his purpose is that you be with him. So that's a wonderful thing. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But then there's another kind of sanctification that occurs too. And really the two of them are connected. The first one talks about how that we are sanctified because God has determined us to be so. But then the Lord says, be ye holy as I am holy, or for I am holy. Depends on where you're at. But think of that now. The Lord wants us to be sanctified, not just simply sanctified in our soul and our spirit, but the Lord wants us to be sanctified in our bodies, how we live for him. So he wants us to set aside our life for him. So those two things happen. But don't be scared of big words. Sanctify, don't be scared of sanctify. It just means to be set apart for a particular usage. Okay? To be made holy in that way. So they that sanctify him give to God the due, his due, the treat, and they treat him the way that he deserves to be treated, as real and absolute. We look away from all other powers. We realize that the Lord alone can save. And so we think about that. That's sanctification there on our part. Now, so many things are sanctified by God and his people in the Old Testament. Think about the first thing that was sanctified was the Sabbath. And the firstborn were sanctified. And the offerings were sanctified. And the tabernacle was sanctified. Everything, so many sanctifications occurred in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, the thing that's sanctified is not talking about sacrifices and things like that, but it talks about the temple that's not made with hands, and that's holy before the Lord. What's that temple? Well, that's where the Holy Ghost lives. That's you. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so you are sanctified and set apart for the Lord. So have you given yourself over wholly to the Lord? Now, the verse previous to talking about sanctification deals with this thing. Sanctification, or that setting apart, comes about as a response to suffering for righteousness' sake. Now, suffering goes on. I mean, of late, there have been street preachers, those that are trying to witness to people that have been beaten here in America, trying to give the gospel out. Christians have been cursed. Churches have been set on fire. Things like that have occurred. And even then, sometimes governments have been devaluing the importance of church assembly. And for instance, in Las Vegas, gambling is more important. You're allowed to have a half occupancy in a gambling establishment, but you can only have 10 people in a church, or 25 people, or whatever it is. So, you know, that's strange because there's churches that hold thousands of people, and they can only have 10 people inside the church building. So they've devalued what the church is important. In Kentucky, back when all the COVID things started, the governor ordered state troopers to go out and take license plates of everybody that came to church. However, the Kentucky Attorney General, he's a Christian, and that all got put away, and judges said you can't do that. And so that got thwarted. But you know, the list goes on and on and on of times. And I'm going to tell you something, sit back and say, oh, this is a special time. I hear people saying that all the time. But who determines that this is a special time? Just the other day, the governor of California determined that they're going to stay in lockdown mode because flu season's coming. And so now we're going to do this every time we have flu season. Well, that's not going to be a good thing for us and for our country. We can't stay at home and make money. We can't stay at home and live our lives. And just today I was talking to y'all, and I said, you know, it is so beautiful when you see people without their masks on. Is it just me, or have we forgotten and taken for granted how beautiful people are with smiles on their faces? And it's just so wonderful when you see smiling, happy people. Okay? And so it's just something that we just see going on. It's so wonderful to be able to hear songs being sung in churches. And so even though all of our people are not in church right now, isn't it wonderful that you can hear people singing in church, and you can hear people talking about the Lord, loving about the Lord, praying, and we can do all of that. So what a wonderful thing it is. Now, suffering of loss might not be a physical persecution, but a loss of worldly gain. Sometimes people lose positions and jobs because they're believers and they live their faith. If you'll serve Christ, one thing you're going to have to lose is your pride. You know, servants must learn to accept shame if we're going to serve Lord Jesus Christ. So you sit back and say, oh, well, we're going to go out and take care of that. Well, can I tell you something? The day may come in America where living for the Lord Jesus Christ is not only happens to be persecution, not only happens for that, but it might come to the point where it gets accepted. And you say, well, we have a constitution. You have to remember this. Nazi Germany had a constitution too. Okay? It all matters what the courts say that you're allowed to do. And when that happens, are you going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, do you live for the Lord Jesus Christ now when it's an opportunity to? I think there's a lot of people that are just going about their lives doing whatever they want to do, but if someone ever told them you can't go to church, they'd all be right at church. No one's going to tell them what they're not going to do. But they don't appreciate what they have. I tell you something, we need to be sanctified to the Lord at all times, but when we go through times of trouble, we need to sanctify the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart. If you'll serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you must cast off some things you'll hold dear for the will of the Master. Servants have to learn submission. This happens with everyone. I know kids, young people, they think, okay, one day I'm going to grow up, and when I get older, I'm going to get to do whatever it is that I want to do. Because that's how life works. It doesn't matter how old you get, you always have someone that you answer to. Amen. And even if you're the boss, you know, there's always someone over you. Look at that. Elections, here in Sumter County, commissioners got voted out. They can act like they're the boss, but you know what? You can get voted out of office, can't you? And even right now with the three new commissioners coming in, and I'm not saying this because it'll happen, I'm just saying this because it could happen, the county manager could be gone. Because when you have three new commissioners come in, okay, so you sit back and say, oh, he makes a lot of money, yep, and he's gone just like that. They can just walk in, say, you know what, three of us don't like you, you need to go pack your bags and clean off your desk, and you're gone. Happens all the time. And you know, we have to realize that there's going to be some things that we're going to have to cast off for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some things that we're going to have to put aside our desires and our goals sometimes and do what the Lord wants us to do, understanding this, that God takes good care of us. You know, sometimes you're told to do things in a secular environment that don't make sense. You're told that, you know, you're told to take things from over here and move them over there, and you're like, well, that's not going to work. I know, I'll just use Miss Anderson here since she's going to be leaving next week, but I know she used to work at the library. And I'd go in one week, and they'd move things around. I mean, all the bookshelves would be moved. And I'm not going to pick anybody, because I don't know the truth. It might have been her that caused it to happen. But they just, I imagine they had someone that went or saw something on a library thing and said, hey, we should make this section close to this section. So they had everybody come out there and move all the books around. They put them over here. And then people start complaining. Why is that over there? got to go back. I'm just going to use it that Miss Anderson was not the one that told him to do that. We're going to blame the head librarian, okay? And Miss Anderson says, it's not going to work. Miss Carol goes, it's not going to work. We need to leave it just like it is. It's fine. It's fine. No, we've got to do it this way. We've got to do it this way. They move everything around over there, and then right away, they have to move everything back. Now listen, I've been on both sides of that. I've had people go out there and tell me things. I had one time, I had a boss, and he gave me these little sticks that you put in fencing so that you can keep it from, you know, make some privacy there. He said, that'll cover up some of this ugly back here. I said, okay. So he gave me this box. He says, we have all these. He said, that'll take care of it. I said, do you want me to make sure before we go? No, no. He said, that's fine. That'll take care of it. I said, okay. He's a boss. So I start putting these in there. I get all the way down to it, and I'm missing a section about this big. I said, we ran out. He says, hey, that's okay. He said, you can go right down there, the road. You can get the same thing. I said, okay. He said, here's where we got them from. I said, okay. So I went down to the company where they got them from. They don't sell that color anymore. So the guy says, I'll give you all that you need. He says, because I'm just trying to get rid of them. He says, I'll give you all of them, but these are green. He says, you have ones that are black. And he says, we don't sell that kind anymore. I said, okay. So I brought the green ones. I'm out there pulling them. He says, what are you doing? I said, I'm taking out the black ones so I can put the green ones, because I said, they don't make the black ones anymore. And I said, we didn't have enough. And I said, you know, that's what, you know what? I've done that to employees before, though. I've sent them on task, and I thought I had it pretty well underhand, and I didn't. And they had to move something over there. And then said, boy, that's the dumbest decision I ever made. Okay, guys, go move it again. Hey, okay, wait till I get through the door and out the window and away from you. I don't have to hear what you're saying about me. We all have that occurred. You know, God always cares, though, about us. He always puts us first in things. I mean, he puts us first as far as he's concerned about our good. And you say, how can it possibly be good when God takes things out of our lives? But God knows what he's doing. I lost my grandpa when I was very young. Not very young, but I was a, you know, young person. I lost my grandpa. I wanted him for longer. But God knows what he's doing. See, God does things for our good, our benefit. See, and so we don't even realize that with loss sometimes. I've lost friends, had friends taken away. But you know, it was a good thing. God knows what he's doing. See, when we're young or when we're going through the circumstances and situations, we sit there and say, that can never be for good. No, you know what it's done? It drove me to look to the Lord. And when it drove me to look to the Lord, I got closer to him, and I learned to rely upon him more. And that's where the good part comes about. Okay? I sanctify the Lord God in my heart. So we have to learn to be able to submit. Young people, you got to learn that. That is the important part of your life right now growing up. Because if you go around right now and you tell mom and dad, I don't care what you tell me, I'm not going to do it. Or you might be all smiles and giggles in front of them, and then as soon as the doors close, you say, well, I'm just not going to do it. One day it'll catch up to you when you go to work somewhere. And so you got to make sure, and it'll definitely catch up to you with the Lord. Now, next thing here, and then we'll get to the message quickly. It's not as long of a message as it is an introduction. That this sanctification results in a good conscience and good conversation. How does sanctification mold your attitudes? Being set apart does mold your attitudes, doesn't it? It would freak Miss Beverly out if Kyle did that. Kyle woke up tomorrow and he said, I am going to make sure that I set myself apart so that my grandma gets whatever done she wants to get done the way she wants it to get done. It would scare her, wouldn't it? He'd get up in the morning and she says, Kyle, get ready to go to school. And Kyle goes, yes, ma'am, I'm already ready. I fixed you breakfast, by the way. You know, I've taken the trash out. Is there anything you want me to do? She would be scared to death. Who are you? What happened in the middle of the night, right? Now, Kyle's probably like that. He's probably real good. But if we set ourselves apart for the Lord, do you know it changes? And it changes our attitude. It changes our conscience, what we know in our mind. How is sanctification lived out in your life? That's a conversation. Many say, I go. but few go. Many say, I will, but few do. Uneasy is the heart that does not rest in God's will. See, we have to learn to be sanctified, set apart for something, and that affects our conversation. You can live in a season of outrage. We have a season of outrage in our country. And I just avoid talking so much about all this, but I'm going to say this to you. Don't let your emotions be controlled by people that you listen to all the time. And the reason I say that is one person will die in this country, and people get outraged. Right? Now listen, one person dies and it's wrong. But I want you to know something else. People die every day and it's wrong. And we forget that. Okay? We forget that. There's kids that die, didn't do anything wrong. There are people that die every day, by the way, and they're out there and they're having gun battles. Okay? Or they're a drug dealer and they get shot. That's one thing. But there's an innocent little kid and he's walking out there and he gets hit with a bullet and killed. That's wrong. Happens all over the place. People just walking down the street and someone will... Listen, that shouldn't occur either. And this is what's sad is, right now, everybody who's a COVID death or had COVID when they died, they get put on a board somewhere. But do you know in the middle of all these people that have died with COVID, there are people that have died with cancer, heart attacks, everything else. And listen, they are just as important. And sometimes, see, the news people get all stuck on one thing. For instance, I don't know what the death toll is up to now, but over 10 people have died in the hurricane. I don't know what it's up to now. So, okay, I know it's higher. I'm sure it's higher. But people get like, these people died in the hurricane. And unfortunately, there will be people that will die after the hurricane, and they call it hurricane-related deaths. There will be people that will die because they will stick a generator inside their house so they can power their house. That's sad. Okay? I say this every hurricane season. Don't do that. Okay? Don't even stick it in your garage and leave your garage door shut. Okay? If you're going to stick it somewhere, give it air so it can get the air out of your house. Stick it outside. See, if someone will steal my... It's better to have someone steal your generator than it is die because you had a generator in your house. So don't do that. Okay? There will be people that will die because they powered up their electric lines and some electrician goes to touch it and he'll die because someone has run power backwards into the grid. There will be people that will die because they're out there cutting a tree down and it falls upon them. Okay? These deaths will occur. They're all very sad. But I'm going to tell you, people die all the time in this country. We have to be very careful that we don't become fixated because we see sadness in one way, one focused area, and we forget about everybody else who's suffering, everybody else who's dying. Okay? And this happens so much that some people are out there and they're willing to do away with police officers just because they see something that is an injustice. Don't do that. Okay? We need to have law and order. We need to be a country that follows procedures. And listen, this is the last thing I'm saying on this and I'm going to leave it alone. Innocent until proven guilty works for criminals, innocent until proven guilty works for police officers too. It works for everybody in our country. When we live within those confines, it makes it so much nicer. Okay? Now listen, this is what sanctification to God does. It gives us a good conversation. I don't have to get caught up in all of that. You know, you see that rush of emotion that people have? I don't have to have that rush of emotion. I don't have to have that rush of anger and that because you know what? That's not where I live at. What does the Lord want me to do? Okay? We need to get angry at sin. The death, by the way, the death up there with George Floyd was caused because of drug usage. Okay, now I know someone knelt on his neck, but the man was high on fentanyl. Get the fentanyl off the streets. Let's get aggravated because of drugs in this country. But people don't seem they call that a sickness. You know, sicknesses are something you can't control. This is something we can control. We can get rid of. We can fight against. You know, I'm just saying we need to have a righteous indignation over things that we can control and lives that we can save. It would have been a wonderful thing if he'd never even have been in that circumstance and situation to begin with. Boy, we need to have sanctification and turn ourselves over, set ourselves apart for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, that'll change things. I want to keep our young people away from situations that are dangerous to them. Don't start using drugs. Amen. And if you think that drugs are a really good thing for you to do, before you start using them, come talk to me privately, and I can share stories with you. Talk to some people in church who have family members who have gone through it themselves. Do that before you mess up your life. Sanctify your life, your body, your living for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will find yourself a lot less problems. Sanctify the Lord Jesus Christ in everything you do. Sanctify the Lord Jesus Christ in how you use your time. Sanctify Him in how you use your money. Everything. Just put the Lord first. You know, the Bible doesn't say seek the Lord first in some things. We need to seek the Lord first in all things. Right? There was a young man, I've told this story before, but a young man, and the Lord had spoken to him from the time he was a youth and said, "Oh, surrender your life to me. Surrender your life to me." The young man made up every single excuse he could. When he was young, he says, "Well, Lord," he said, I will surrender to you, but I'm not married yet." And then the Lord kept speaking to him. He got married, and he says, "Well, Lord, I will go." But he says, "I've just been married a little bit of time. Let me get settled for a little bit before I go." He kept going on, and the Lord was speaking to him again, and he felt this burning in his heart, and he says, "I've got to surrender to God." And he says, "But Lord," he said, "I've got a brand new baby here." He said, "Let me wait until she's older." A terrible tragedy. The little child died. Pastor didn't know anything about this working on his heart. The young man came down to the coffin. He looked down in the casket. Little girl. He said, "I'm so sorry." He threw himself down upon the casket and he says, "Lord," he says, "I'll go now. I'll go now." You know, don't let it take something tragic in your life before you surrender to God. If the Lord is speaking to you, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Okay? Now, why? The Lord God has sanctified the temple of His people. We can see there in 2 Chronicles 7:16, "For now have I chosen and sanctified this house," that's talking about the temple, "that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually." But look at Hebrews 13:12. "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." We're called, as I've already mentioned, the temple of the Holy Ghost. Do you know what something? Isn't it amazing? God has sanctified you by his own blood. Not by a blood of calves, but he's sanctified you with his own blood. Now, if the Lord looked upon his temple, and his eyes and his heart were upon his temple, how much more so will God look upon his people? See, the Lord has sanctified you. Therefore, we need to sanctify God. Sanctification is a command, not a request. Leviticus 11:44, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves and be ye holy. For I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord God that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. And ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." Leviticus 20:7 says, "Sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you." And Joshua 3:5, "And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves." You know, we are commanded, not asked, to sanctify ourselves. We are commanded. You know, I don't know, Miss Anderson, you had a bunch of kids working for you. Because you had, remember that when we had all those kids come and they'd work for us at the library and different places? And you know, kids back then, it was, they were big into social media, Facebook. They had to tell everybody wherever they were at, you know, anywhere. They had to just like log in and tell them where they're at. And so they'd sit there and they'd do stuff on their computers or phones, you know, little things. And phones got real smart, you know, and then they got there and they'd sit there and do, you know. You know what? They'd come to work like that and you had to teach them that when you're at work, you're at work. Isn't it amazing? Work expects you to be at work when you are working. Yeah, my mom, I watched her do her budget presentation for the city where she works at, and one of the commissioners, after she got done, they said they wanted to give the employees a raise, a special bonus. And the rationale was this, that during, as everything was shut down, those people actually had to work at home. The other commissioners said they didn't want to do that. But can you imagine this? The thought that you should give them something special because while they were supposed to work, they worked. I was weird even when I was at Leesburg, and nobody ever thought this was a good idea. I always thought they should have just paid people whatever they were going to pay them. Go ahead and give them the payment of whatever it's going to be and make a smaller range of how high their salary could go. Because to me, if you're mowing grass, you mow grass. And then you should just get a cost of living every year. So you know you're always going to get paid a certain amount for doing a certain job. Nobody thinks that's a good idea, though. Nobody does. I never thought that you could get like that much better at mowing grass over 20 years. To where they paid you double the amount of money. I just never understood that. To me, that range was way too big. But I never said that publicly because I would have gotten stoned with stones. But, you know, I'll just tell you this. Isn't the Lord good to us, and that he wants us to be, not just wants us to be, but commands us to be sanctified to him? See, the Lord knows it's good for us to set aside our heart and our life to look unto him. And you know, the reason why is because God looks upon us. He sanctifies us. He sets us apart in a certain way, in a certain place, and the Lord looks at us. Then he expects us to look back at him. Okay? A husband gets married to a wife and he says, honey, he said, I expect that you are going to treat me in a certain way. And then he treats her like garbage. That's not right. No. A husband to go out there and say, okay, honey, I'm going to treat you in a certain way, and I'm going to take good care of you, and you will never have to worry about anything. And his wife looks at him and says, well, you do what you want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then she treats him horribly. That's not right. God has sanctified us in his own heart, in his own mind. His eyes are always upon us. Therefore, we ought to treat God in the same way. Sanctification is a command. Sanctification also is a personal responsibility. In 1 Chronicles 15:14, so the priests and Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. In 2 Chronicles 30, verse 3, it says, for they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. You have to sanctify yourself. You have to set yourself apart and aside. You know, so much of the time, I already talked about Kyle, but Kristen goes up there and says, well, you didn't tell me I couldn't do this, or you didn't tell me I couldn't do that, or you didn't tell me. You know, everyone doesn't have to tell you everything. It's part of growing up. You have personal responsibility. You know, do we need to have a sign on property that says, do not destroy my property? No. That's my personal property. You shouldn't destroy my personal property. You shouldn't have to put a sign on at your house. And you know, they say, well, I took your ladder because I saw it in your yard. It should be able to sit in your yard. Nobody should touch your stuff, right? You shouldn't have to lock your car. You shouldn't have to lock your house. You shouldn't have to put a lock on your purse, ladies. But do you understand that when people go through life, sometimes they sit there and say, well, they didn't put a rule out against it. What about personal responsibility? Years ago, we had a man come from, he was from Canada, but he was teaching us about a stage. And he was just telling us stories as he was teaching us about how to put this portable stage up. And he said they went over to, and I want to say it's Indonesia, but I could be wrong, it could be India, but I think it was Indonesia. And he said they went over there with the stage, and they were teaching him about the stage and how to put it up. And he said as they were, no one had ever seen one of these before. And he said there's so many people in there. And he said they started flocking around the stage. And he said I tried to shoo them away. And he said the boss said, no, 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 no. He said, you don't tell them to move. He's like, what have I done? He says, I'm concerned. He says, looking at things how we are here in North America, he said, you don't want someone to get hurt. He said, these pieces come down. And he said, they can crush somebody. And he looked and he said, if they want to get crushed and they want to die, it's their own fault. They do it the same way. I heard Brother David Gibbs from Christian Law Association. And he was talking about this. He saw a blind woman. And she was walking out towards the road. And he was in a cab. And the cab driver says, oh, she's going to get hit. He said, he looked there and she was tapping her way out towards in the road. And she stepped right out in front of the road. And sure enough, the car or motorcycle, whatever it was, hit her. Knocked her back over onto the side. Kept going. David Gibbs said, don't you think we should stop and help her? She was getting herself back up again. He said, why? He said, it's her own fault. Totally different way of looking at things, isn't it? Here in America, nobody takes personal responsibility for anything. Even if it's your fault, you've got to find someone else to blame on the back end. You know, I know I did it. I stole it. But it's my parents' fault for not giving it to me in the first place. Why? You know, to quote a section from Get Smart. If only my mom had given me a sleigh. Why didn't my mom give me a sleigh? Then he says to himself, perhaps it's because we lived in Florida. But that's the way people are. Everybody wants to have some sort of reasoning as to why they are not personally responsible. You are personally responsible for sanctification. Sanctification is also, it's the work of the truth of the Word of God. John 17:16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Our Lord Jesus Christ continues praying here, and as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. 1 Timothy 4:4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. We are sanctified by the word of God, the truth and the word of God. We need the word of God. I say this all the time. Read your Bible and pray. Reading your Bible will not make you perfect. But setting aside time for the Lord is a good thing to do. And when you read the word of God, it puts truth into your life. And the Lord will illuminate whatever it is that you need. Sit back and read some messages and say, why in the world did they put that in the Bible? Why did the Lord put that in the Bible? Maybe he didn't put it there for you, but he put it there for somebody. It doesn't necessarily mean anything to you, but it means something to someone else. You take what God has given to you, what he speaks to your heart about, and you put that into place in your life. And you bring that up and say, Lord, I want your word to speak to me. One of the big things going out today is my truth. It doesn't matter if it's truth or not, it's my truth. It's what I believe to be correct. Listen to me. It doesn't matter whether I think it's right or not. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. Okay? It doesn't matter if my dad says it's right or not. I love my dad, but I'm going to tell you what. My dad can be wrong. If he wants to be wrong, that's fine and dandy. God is right. Let God be true and every man a liar. Okay? You can love. You say, well, you know, you don't understand. I got people in my family. Listen to me. I don't care what the people in your family do. It's not about what your family does. It's about what the Lord says is right and wrong. Amen. Live in the truth. Live in the truth. Last thing here, we must sanctify the Lord as he sanctifies us. Isaiah 8:13 says, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Hebrews 13:12, wherefore Jesus also, we saw this part, didn't we? That he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. But now let's go to the next verse. It says, let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. We have got to be a people set apart today. As we see things in our country, and as we see things, people going crazy, we see people turning against churches. Some people are violently against churches in our country. It's going to become more dangerous to serve the Lord in this country. It's going to become more dangerous to do so. And you say, oh, that'll never happen. Stop saying that'll never happen. Okay? But it's going to become that way. That's why we need to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. See, these things can be rolled back in our country if we as God's people will do what's right, live what's right, pray and seek God's face. If we'll do those things, the Lord can heal our land again. Amen. You say there's no going back. Do you know we've had times, by the way, when people have been more divided than right now? I mean, go back in history. They were pretty divided in the Civil War. They were out there shooting people, sometimes family members. That was a pretty divided time in this country. We've had some divided times in this country. And then people go out there and say, and listen, I wasn't even alive for this stuff. But they say, well, we've never had this kind of racial unrest in this country. That's not true. Of course, a lot of this is going on is not racial. I'm going to keep saying that. You know why? Listen, this is the South. When some of y'all were kids, you knew they had signs and it said, colored people have to sit in the kitchen. This restroom is for, this water fountain was for white people and that water fountain was for colored people. That's what it said in it. Okay? We've been more divided than we are now. Okay? People are just angry. There's a lot of anger, isn't there? But you know what? Can I tell you this? That there is great hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, inside of this room, we have people from all different kinds of walks, backgrounds, states, all over the place. But do you know what? We find solitude, we find security with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we find unity at. That's what we come to church. We don't come to church to talk about politics. We don't come to church to talk about the environment. We come to church to talk about the Lord. And then we can find peace in that. You and I might differ on a lot of things. We might differ on a few things. But do you know what? When it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, we know Him as our Savior. We know how important it is and we love Him. And that's what's really most important. And that's what brings us unity, is in Him. There was a man one day, and he was talking to a man by the name of John Patterson. He was a widower, and he had his only son. He was a fine, gifted son. And he decided to give up everything and become a missionary. He signed up to join the New Zealand mission. His father's first words were, "I cannot let him go." But he stopped himself. Mr. Patterson said, "God forbid I should stop him." And he ended the conversation with these words. He said, "I give him wholly, not with any thought of seeing him again. I will not have him thinking he must come home to see me." Back then it was a different world. At that time you got in a boat, you traveled for months and months and months to get somewhere. There were no telephone calls. And he knew that when he gave his son to the Lord, he would never see him again. But he knew that his son must sanctify himself for the Lord Jesus Christ. Young people, you need to sanctify your heart and your mind to serve the Lord. Say, "Well, I don't want to serve God." You know how many times as a young person I got up, came to church, and I didn't want to come to church? I just sat back there. But it's different now when you set the Lord apart in your heart and your life. Adults, you need to set the Lord apart in your life. You say, "Well, I know the Lord is my Savior." That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying you need to sanctify the Lord God in your heart, your life. It'll make a difference where you work. It'll make a difference in your home. It'll make a difference in your life. You say, "But I can't let go." You fill the blank in. But then be like Mr. Patterson. "But God forbid that I should stop him." "But preacher, I can't lose my kids, or I can't lose my job, or I can't lose my..." You do what God wants you to do, and God will bless you. That's not my promise. That's the Lord's promise. He'll take care of you. Sometimes the greatest blessings, by the way, greatest preachers, men that have touched lives of millions, and even today we have blessings that have touched our country because of things that went on in England and Scotland, Wales, the great revivals over there. But the men that were behind those things, The men that were behind the missionaries that came here to America and the people that came to our country and first founded our country. That the people that were behind that were not wealthy. They just were wise. They trusted God that he could take care of them, and God did. There is an America here today because we trusted in God, and God took care of us. And there will be an America here tomorrow if we trust God tomorrow. So sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctify him in your life, life of your family. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Have a time of invitation.